Welcome to Opera Out of the Box, unpacking opera piece by piece. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell, and today I'm joined in the studio by Kevin Bilsma, who is Artistic Director of Toledo Opera. We also have Effie Papanicola, who is a musicologist and a professor at Bowling Green State University. On the phone, we have Tosca herself, Lindsay Anderson, who is an opera singer, and Toledo Opera's Tosca this October. It's happening the 18th and the 20th. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Now, thank you. So happy to be here.
We're going to talk about the diva, which is partly why you're here, Lindsay Anderson, because you play a diva and you're singing as a diva. They think of Tosca as a diva. I wonder if each of you could kind of give us your concept of who is Tosca? Who is this person? And do it from the standpoint of where you sit. Like Kevin is an administrator. I don't mean where you literally sit. Effie is a musicologist. And Lindsay, of course, you have the vocal goods on Tosca. I wonder if we can start with Kevin. Just tell us what you think. Who is Tosca?
Who is Tosca? Well, Tosca, first of all, is the heroine of one of the greatest operas that Puccini ever wrote. And as an administrator, it's a great thing to do, Tosca, because, well, it's popular and it sells well and it's fantastic theater and fantastic music. Yeah. Who is Tosca? Tosca, to me, has always been one of the most compelling heroines of all opera. I think that she is amazingly complex, that I just find it interesting that as a character in opera, she's also a diva. She's an opera singer. And that is rare in an opera to have an opera singer as the character, as the lead character. And so you get the aspect of not only the character, the theatrical character, but the musical character that is Tosca. So to me, it's just win-win all around. It is one of the most compelling operas that I know.
Effie, what do you say?
I'm not here to be too much of a scholar today because this is too close to me. I love the character of Tosca. I love Tosca as an opera, although it's been vilified over the years. So maybe we can talk about that another time.
Is that your Halloween costume for this year as Tosca? You're going as Tosca?
That's a great idea.
That's great.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
You heard it here first. Yeah.
If you do Tosca, I do Lucia. So.
Oh, no. No mud scenes for me.
I didn't mean to disrupt your train of thought there.
I'm going to throw out here the name of Maria Callas because I want to come back to her, and because today we're celebrating, although it's not really a celebration, we commemorate the anniversary of her death, which is really quite serendipitous that we are here talking about divas. And Maria Callas singing Tosca is an incredible experience. And most of us have the experience of listening to Maria Callas maybe singing Tosca, but then there is this one footage from 1964 of the entire second act. So for me, nobody else has ever sung Tosca like Maria Callas has. She is, it's a very meta role, what you said, Kevin. Here you have a singer who plays, an opera singer who plays the opera singer in an opera. I don't think that had ever been done before.
No, I don't think so.
I find this quite compelling, this kind of meta notion in the opera. And unlike what some might say that a real life diva would be like the Tosca diva of the opera, I don't think we can necessarily make these connections. But I will let Lindsay say more about that since she's the singer here.
Yeah, you've kind of encroached a little bit on her territory as a singer.
Oh, that's all right.
Lindsay, who is Tosca?
I'm not a diva in the negative connotation of the word, so I don't mind.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about that later. Let's talk about Tosca now. What does she mean to you?
Yes. To me, it's a very interesting perspective. I think that Tosca is a woman who truly knows herself and unapologetically expresses every aspect of who she is. She's talented, she's loving, she's emotional, she's fiercely passionate, virtuous, but she embraces her femininity and her strength, which I think it's not, all of those aspects of a character aren't put in the forefront in any other role that I've ever performed so much as in, it is with Tosca.
Now, Effie talked a little bit about Maria Callas. I wonder if you share her opinion of Maria Callas, and who are the people you look up to, the sopranos, be they divas or Toscas, perhaps?
Yes, I am in complete agreement with Effie on Maria Callas as the premier talent that has performed Tosca. It's an art to watch her expression of every little nuance of this character's experiences is pretty unmatched. I also enjoy Leontine Price's version. It's a different type of voice. I enjoy Angela Georgiou, and Sandra Rodnovsky is another of my favorites.
Yeah.
They all bring something different to the table, but they all bring that confidence. And it seems, you know, this life experience to the role. That's something else I'd like to chat about is, you know, Tosca, because it is such a complex character, it takes an artist that has had the stage experience to fully embrace that character and be comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. It's a very vulnerable role.
Mm. I wonder if we can switch gears a little bit away from the idea of Tosca being a diva, et cetera, and to real-life examples of divas, the diva phenomenon. I wonder if, Effie, you put on your musicologist hat and just tell us a little bit about the history of the diva, the concept of the diva.
Yeah, with all its pejorative attributes, right, that we associate, at least in popular culture.
But we're staying positive.
But we are staying positive.
For the most part.
Yes.
Until because we're not.
A diva is really a hardworking woman who has a career, and she has this insatiable appetite to be successful at what she does. And this, unfortunately, still is kind of an issue in our contemporary culture, and you can imagine 200 years ago or 100 years ago how it was looked upon as something completely inappropriate. Mm. So I know Kevin wants to talk about Sarah Bernhardt, and I will let him say more about that, but she was, as an actress, the quintessential divina, right? That's where we get the word diva from. La divina.
Don't ruin my quiz now.
Oh, I can't. You know, I have to talk about that. So this kind of self-centered and demanding and temperamental and irrational woman, I mean, we still hear that in our popular culture nowadays.
Sure.
And, of course, in music, sorry to ruin your quiz, but in music, or in opera history, it is associated primarily with Maria Callas.
Right. Well, I mean, she was a diva on stage and off, for some people would tell you. Do you agree with that assessment?
It depends on how you talk about the word diva. She was demanding because she had to be. She was completely in control of whatever she wanted to do, and she wanted everybody else to be up with her in her demands. She was extravagant, but that's nothing wrong about being an opera singer. And actually, in one of her interviews, when she was asked, you know, you're accused of being temperamental, and her response, with a smile always, was, of course I'm temperamental. Can you imagine being an opera singer and not being temperamental? Which I find absolutely true.
Yeah.
I'd love to hop in there, Effie, because I'm in complete agreement with everything you've said. And in performing this music is such an incredible responsibility that it does in some ways afford you to make those, you know, requests so that you can be at your best when you're performing it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Is this the first time, Lindsay, you've done this role?
It is. It is the first time I've performed Tosca. I am very much looking forward to it. I dabble in both mezzo-soprano and soprano repertoire, but this role, the way that Puccini wrote this music, it just feels like I like to call it musical chocolate.
Nice.
It's just like this perfectly melted, beautiful, tasty, delicious chocolate, every note you hear. And it feels amazing to sing.
That's great. I'm going to give you a little applause for that. And that's a nice segue into our quiz. Everybody ready for the quiz?
Where's
Let
my
me
buzzer?
See if I have music for this. I don't know. Let me see. That's kind of quizzy sounding. Okay, this might be a lightning round because the first question is, which famous opera singer was known as La Divina? I don't think you need all three here. Renata Solaldi, Joan Solon, or Maria Callas.
All together now, everybody.
Callas!
Okay, you might not know this. Who was the first Tosca and was thought of as the operatic equivalent of Sarah Bernhardt? Sarah Bernhardt, of course, was an actress that Victorian Sardou based the character of Tosca on, yeah? All right, I digress. So, who was that? Who was the first Tosca? Was it Emmy Destin? Was it Maria Yuritsa? Or was it Haraclea Darclay?
Ding, ding, ding. C.
Yeah. What can you tell us about Haraclea Darclay?
She came from a Greek background, actually.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Greek Moldavian.
She was related to Maria Callas in that sense. Nice. Okay, which soprano was known as La Stupenda? Was it Kirsten Flagstad? Was it Joan Sutherland? Or was it Birgit Nilsson?
Joan Sutherland.
Yes, that's correct. Which opera diva was famous for her performances in Wagner's works and was known as the Brunhilde of the century? Was it Birgit Nilsson? Was it Kirsten Flagstad? Or was it Leontine Price? Who was the Brunhilde of the century?
Well, I don't think that Price was. How about Nielsen?
Yeah, Nielsen. Ding, ding, ding. You are correct. Now, which Spanish soprano performed Barcelona with Freddie Mercury? Very famously recorded with him.
As well as many other things that she sang, Montserrat Caballé.
Yes, Montserrat Caballé. It was not Victoria de Los Angeles or Teresa Berganza, who I have listed here. It was
who are all wonderful.
Yes,
or great
indeed.
Spanish divas.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Which opera diva made her debut at the Metropolitan Opera in 1961 and was known for her performances in Aida? Was it Maria Callas? Was it Leontine Price? Or was it Elizabeth Schwarzkopf?
Oh, Leontine Price.
Yes, it was Leontine. Which soprano was sometimes called the Russian Maria Callas? Was it Anna Netrebko? Was it Galina Vishnevskaya? Or was it Irina Arkhipova?
Vishnevskaya,
yes. Okay, only two more left. Who was the reigning diva during the 1970s at New York City Opera and helped to popularize bel canto singing?
One of my favorites. Oh, sorry, you have...
Let me give you the options first.
But I...
Yeah, Beverly Sills, Carol Neblett, or Catherine Malfitano.
Oh, they're all so great, but it's Beverly Sills.
Yes.
I got to meet her once. So that was...
Oh, jealous.
Yeah. I was 8 years old.
Nice. What modern soprano has been nominated for 18 Grammy Awards? She's won 5 of those. Is it Diana Domrau? Is it Renee Fleming? Or is it Anna Netrebko? A, B, or C?
Renee Fleming.
B.
That's a tricky one.
Yeah, what do you say, Lindsay?
Renee Fleming?
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct. There we go. I get a little bit of a belt there. That's great. But you guys got all the answers correct. So, the quiz is not such a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
So let's go back to the idea of Tosca herself, Floria Tosca, which you are going to inhabit for us, Lindsay. I wonder if you can talk about her place in all of this. Who is she as compared to, other divas, other sopranos? Is there anybody that is a role model for you when it comes to singing Tosca aside from Maria Callas?
I would say that I have I kind of divide it into two role models. Maria Callas for the drama she brings to the role. The acting was so exceptional. And vocally, I do identify more with the Sandra Radonovskys and Leontine Prices of the world. There's many different voice types that can successfully sing Tosca, because Puccini did write it so beautifully for the voice. There are moments where you have to be, you know, judicious and decide to hold back, and there's moments where you really let loose. But vocally, I would say that Sandra Radonovsky is probably one of my favorites, and perhaps lesser known to the masses, but when you're getting in deep and studying the role, some of the things that she did were just so magnificent, especially in Vici d'Arte, one of the most beautiful arias that I have ever had the privilege to sing.
Well, Sandra Radonovsky is like the atypical, you know, non-diva for herself. She's like a wonderful person. She's an example of a good diva, like using their powers
exactly.
for good, right? Are you a diva? Would you consider yourself in some ways?
The positive connotation of stereotype, I would say, I try to emulate. I hope that I don't ever, you know, fit the
right.
bill for the negative one. I work very hard to do a wonderful job and to give the gift of my voice to the audience. I see it as a great responsibility to communicate this beautiful music and this beautiful text and the story to the audience. I've always viewed my role as, you know, a conduit of this music, as one that I put myself into it and my life experiences, but I always enjoy being very kind to everyone that is along the journey with me. I've experienced and been witness to some very bizarre behaviors in my journey as an opera singer thus far. There was a tenor, they shall remain nameless.
Let's get to the good stuff. Yeah, tell us stories.
They had two of their friends go out and spritz the entire stage with water bottles so that the moisture would last for the first act.
Wow.
Someone was wearing a really extravagant costume backstage, and before their entrance, they would spit their lozenge out into the hand of their assistant. You know, it's funny little things like that, but, you know, I've seen lots of things, but fortunately, mostly just silly little things like that.
Yeah, we all have stories that may or may not be true that we've heard, like the soprano who insisted on raising the temperature or the air conditioning, I'm not sure, wanted the air conditioning on in their limo, and they called their agent, and the agent called the limo driver.
That was Kathleen Battle.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say any names.
Oh, come on. We might as well say who
I wasn't going to name names, but there are a lot of stories out there. Do you have any stories, Effie, you can tell us about a diva?
Well, one of my favorite living singers is Cecilia Bartoli.
Mm.
And she was actually accused of being a diva because she wanted to sing two substitute arias in Le Nozze di Figaro for the Met. Now, to me, as a scholar, since you would like to attribute this to me, as a scholar, this indicates that she knew what she was doing because that was a practice that was commonplace in the 19th century.
Right.
The idea that Mozart would always write substitute arias like many other composers, if they knew that another singer was going to sing at another place, at another opera house. And that was something that Cecilia Bartoli wanted to bring to the Met. And she was accused of being a diva. Why? As Kevin said before, because she was overprepared, because she was educated, because she knew what she wanted.
Yeah.
And to me, that absolutely, if that's what we want to call a diva, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely okay with that.
Well, Viva la diva.
Viva la diva. How do you say that? Plural. Viva la vive dive.
Vivi la divi.
Yeah, vivi.
Something like that.
Vivi la divi.
Yes. We've heard the voice of Tosca come through the rafters and set us straight on that. So that leads me to my next question. I mean, does the diva title go beyond just sopranos? Does it go to men? Does it go to mezzos? Does it go to... What do you say, Lindsay?
I think that anyone can be a diva in, you know, in the good sense and the negative sense of the word. I mean, so much work goes into preparing for a role. It doesn't matter if you're singing the soprano role, the mezzo role, the baritone, the tenor. We can find those, that divas manifest in any voice type. But I do think it goes back to what Effie was talking about at the beginning. It really, I would love for the world to see this as more of a positive label, because it really is an incredible amount of work and study that goes into preparing these types of roles. It is a responsibility to that you hold in that relationship with your audience. You're giving them this piece of history through your voice and through your artistic talent. And with that, I think, you know, people respect that, but it is a heavy responsibility, and that goes for any voice type.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to be courageous, you know? I mean...
Courageous, exactly.
In order to step out on the stage and sing Tosca, to sing Cavaradossi, to sing Scarpia, you know, any of these iconic roles, doesn't matter if it's soprano, mezzo, tenor, or baritone. The ability to hold an audience in your hand takes that courage as well as all that preparation. It's I think, a great thing and something to be admired.
Effie, do you want to talk a little bit about Puccini and the opera itself in the context of when he wrote it and what it involves? You know, it was a very realistic opera. It's, you know, the shabby little shocker, right?
Oh, my departed colleague, Joseph Kerman, yes.
Yeah, I don't want to steal your thunder, but anything you want to say about Puccini and about the composition of the opera and how it fits into his oeuvre?
So Puccini is regarded to be the quintessential representative of verismo in opera, which is the equivalent of realism in the arts and verisme, you know, in French literature and the arts. It's a difficult term, and it doesn't apply to everything. It doesn't apply to a whole sleuth of his operas that he wrote. But Tosca is quintessentially verismo, because it brings on the stage some of the most passionate emotions and brutally depicted. It's not just about the realistic representation of really difficult situations. You have a murder, you have suicide, you have a firing squad who executes somebody on the stage at the end.
Don't give it away.
Yeah.
Right. I have to say
no
that.
No spoilers.
Because usually deaths were done behind the scenes.
Yes.
And here you have all of this happening. You have a murder and you have then another killing happening on the stage. And Puccini relished in this idea. And actually he wanted his librettists to be with him in that. He wanted his librettists to create this very realistic representation of the stories on stage. And he got into a lot of trouble for that. In any case, Sardou, Victorien Sardou, who was still alive, was very happy with the outcome, although not always during the process. So verismo, it is verismo. We like to talk about Puccini and verismo all the time, that's fine. But we also have to understand that this is a very specific opera, that because of this almost sadistic representation of violence on the stage, as you said, was maligned not only by scholars like Joseph Kerman, who called it a shabby little shocker, but also by audiences who either didn't want to see all this violence so explicitly presented on the stage. It's like, you know, one of these slasher movies. Yeah. You want to make it as sensational as you can. And that's what Puccini did with Tosca.
Yeah, but why did he do that? I mean, what was he trying to achieve? Just the way that he reacted to the source material?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the source material is so rich. And I know that when when Victorien Sardou, for example, wrote this for Sarah Bernhardt, you know, she had already had so much success with Sardou's plays. So she was the quintessential Tosca before it even became an opera.
Yeah. Do you think Puccini had that in mind when he was writing the role?
Absolutely, because he saw Sarah Bernhardt play La Tosca.
Yeah.
And he knew exactly what he wanted.
I'm curious, this is a little bit of a diversion, but what has the effect been of the audience, the people, on the whole diva concept? You think of, you know, at the time, this was a very explosive opera. It was very violent. And nowadays, you just flip on the TV and you can see it anywhere. I mean, people are into that sort of thing. I wonder if you can talk about the role of the audience or how they've influenced what the diva is or what it's thought to be over the years.
The audience is going to go with what they hear. And if we keep pushing this idea of the temperamental, irrational, demanding personality, then they will never understand that the idea of being la divina, being the divine, being a goddess-like creature was not about any of that. It was basically trying to survive in an immense world. And all these women didn't have the agents, didn't have the publicity people behind them, didn't have the record companies, didn't have all these, the lawyers, right, who would help them navigate this world. They were all doing it on their own. So they had to be extremely strong. And we know until today, a strong woman is someone who is demanding.
Well, it sounds
and
like...
And you see it kind of in modern entertainment and shows like Bridgerton and Downton Abbey, where nowadays people revere opera divas as, you know, something that is perhaps more high class and, you know, something that's not accessible to the everyday man, which we in the opera world are trying to break down that belief every day. But back in those times, operatic performers were considered very provocative and not high class, but people would still enjoy their entertainment. It's quite a double-edged sword.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the diva label is, you know, signifies empowerment, but oftentimes today it has a negative connotation as well. Can any of you talk about how the diva has made their way into popular culture and how examples maybe that we see of a diva today that is admired or vilified?
I'm surrounded by opera all the time. I am so not pop culture.
Who's the pop culture rep?
Let me help you, Kevin.
Please do.
Okay.
How about Beyoncé?
All right. Let me give you some music.
Will that work?
Talk about Beyoncé for us.
Well, I don't know if this music is helping me, but
well, it's no Puccini, I can tell you that.
But she is someone who, again, is larger than life.
Yes. Good.
Right?
Good point.
And this being larger than life is not easy for our culture to comprehend still. We saw it very recently with, you know, Taylor Swift and how she's attacked on all sides, right?
Yeah.
For being a very strong and very influential woman in 2024. I mean, this is not the 19th century.
Yeah.
And we are still fighting this fight as women in the workplace, which is exactly what these singers were doing. They were just having careers. And they were vilified all the time for trying to make it in this male-dominated and very difficult world. As Lindsay said, this is a very difficult job. It's not just what we see, you know, on American Idol. You open your mouth and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, you're brilliant.
Right?
That's what the judges say. No, you're not brilliant just because you have a good voice. You're brilliant because you really work very hard at making it work and knowing the music and knowing the tradition and knowing the composer and knowing the role and knowing how to act and so many other things that Lindsay can tell us more about.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're talking about Maria Callas.
I always talk about Callas, no matter what I do.
Beyonce and Callas, you know. It's
Lindsay, what's your reaction to what she said?
I can speak to this from the singer's perspective. In today's world, and, you know, since opera, since the inception of opera as an art form, singers, from the beginning of their careers, before they really discover who they truly are as an artist, will go through a series of moments where other people will try to label them and put them in a box. I think that a diva, in the best sense of the word, is someone who refuses to be put in a box.
Hmm.
And, you know, there's a reason that we say diva instead of divo. It's for all of the men, you know, the things that Effie mentioned, because when women, you know, historically have refused to be labeled and refused to be contained by other people's expectations, they would be called out on it. And it really wasn't the case for men at the time, or, in, you know, unfortunately still today. So I would say that my best definition for what a diva is someone who refuses to be contained by other people's expectations and unapologetically acts as themselves and presents their talent and knows their worth and all of the above.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody agrees with you. Well, I think that that is the last word as far as the diva character goes, but audiences can find Lindsay Anderson as Tosca. That's happening October 18th and 20th at Toledo Opera. You've been listening to Opera Out of the Box, a co-production of WGTE Public Media and Toledo Opera. You can find previous episodes online at our website, wgte.org, and of course, you can dive into all things Toledo Opera at their website, toledoopera.org. I want to thank my guests today, Kevin Bilsma, Effie Papanikolaou, and Lindsay Anderson. I'm your host, Brad Creswell. Thanks for joining us for Opera Out of the Box.